This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Good evening, everybody, guys and girls, and welcome to this special edition SmackDown review with me, Michael Twentyman, and yous may know me in the Discord and occasionally not that as much anymore from the mailbag as the Grim Reaper. Now, I've been tagged in by Michael Ritter to cover this review as he's attended SmackDown this week, which is in the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, and got to thank DJ Kuzmo for giving the location breakdown. And yeah, I hope you had a fantastic time, Mr. Ritter, and more importantly, that the wee man enjoyed himself as well. So, before I get into this very, very busy SmackDown review, DJ Kuzmo also informed me early on of The Rock had took to social media and put pretty much another two-part, 20-minute video on slagging Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins off. If you haven't seen it, that's worth a look going in. He does a lot of repeating what he said last week about the crowd in Phoenix. And, he's referring to Cody as a chicken shit goof. I think the best bit though is where he calls out his dog again. I think he calls him the goofy ass dog Pharaoh, and he points out to the distance and goes off you can, and then drops a massive F-bomb, finishes it off really dropping a load of massive F-bombs to Cody's story, which good setup for before SmackDown. What was interesting as well, he called out Seth Rollins for when Raw went off air, he grabbed hold of the mic apparently and started, you know, saying what he really thought about The Rock when the cameras weren't on. So that's interesting that he's saying once you go off the air and the cameras can't broadcast you. With the way that this episode finished, it'll be interesting to actually see what happens. So the show starts with video recaps of last week's episode, and then the show, The Rock entering in a big old dirty brown Ford Wrangler, gets out, is all cowboyed up, got Cowboy Rock for the entrance, and then you see a load of security coming up behind him, and same with the tribal chief and the wise man, in the normal gear. Shows you them entering, and then Cody turns up and he's all smiles in his suit and his pearly whites flashing, and then he bumps into Seth Rollins, who, I'm sorry, but one of my old aunties years ago when I was a kid had sunglasses like that, the ones that he's got on. She was like a really old woman, and I just can't take him serious wearing them, but that's what he does. He also had like a duvet, it was like a sleeping bag on, just in case he wanted to stay the night. But Cody smiles, soon turned to frowns when he bumped into Nick Aldis and another load of security guards to escort him in. Then we get Logan Paul in the ring. He's giving out a promo, usual heel promo, slagging off Dallas as usual, and then he unveils that he's got an announcement to make, and they pull out a massive decal of a stupid looking Prime bottle in the middle of the ring, and he's announced that for the first time ever Prime have gone into sponsor with the WWE to sponsor the rings for pay-per-views starting from WrestleMania. So for every pay-per-view we're going to get a big stupid looking bottle of Prime in the middle of it. So to celebrate this, he brings out KSI, his one of his matters, and you know they're posing in the ring for a photo just as Randy Orton's music hits, and Randy Orton sneaks out from under the ring, tries to give Logan Paul RKO. He manages to escape, luckily for him, and then he gives KSI an RKO and drags him into the middle of the prime bottle, you know, lies him flat, situated over the eye, which I thought was a bit of a good visual, really. You know, prime with lifeless KSI on the eye, and then he picks up a bottle of prime and starts pouring it all over KSI's crotch, which, brilliant, he's trying to like sell that he's knocked out, but you can see him twitching when the water's hitting him. Yeah, it's and then he's got to spend the rest of the day looking like he's wet his pants. Then we get back from the adverts, which, just for the record, Matt, adverts is what we in the UK call a commercial break. And Triple H announces that they have 100 million subscribers to YouTube. Pretty good, really, isn't it? It's got like a massive plaque to show for it. Then we get into Randy Orton KO versus Waller and Fury. This is just a good old normal match, really. You know, it's good spots all the way through. Ends up, Grayson Waller tries to mock Randy with doing his warm up for hitting an RKO and KO, but KO gets out, tags Orton in, big fight, and then you know, KO sets up, I think it was Fury, for a pop-up RKO to win the match. And then after the match, while KO and Orton are celebrating, they get jumped by Logan Paul, brings out the brass knucks, and you know, Orton manages to dodge him, gets the brass knucks off him, goes to, you know, hit Paul with the knucks. Paul legs it. He just missed. This is what I found interesting. Was he just missed KO, stopped himself, and then he took the knucks off, gave him a fist bump and a big smile. Now, this is not what you're used to seeing from Orton. You're seeing it a bit with Riddle when he was like warming to him. But I don't know. There's something going on with Randy at the minute. He's looking a bit too jolly. But then he gets the brass knucks and he drops them down his kegs. Another reference for you. In the UK, we call kegs like underpants that men wear. So, you know, drops, not the tights or the pants, you know, like the underpants ones. I call them kegs. So he drops the brass knucks in his kegs. Now, is this going to be a story where Logan Paul is trying to retrieve his brass knucks from Randy Orton? I hope it is, but he needs to keep them somewhere else, because you can't be keeping them down by your Johnson. Then, after the next lot of adverts, commercial break, we get a progressive match flow of Bayley and Damage Control story, and, you know, shows all the way through the betrayal and everything from Dakota Kai. And then you get a backstage interview with Kayla Braxton and Bayley, and, you know, she's basically just going on about how she's going to overcome this and everything. But then they did this a few times as well. The cut to when there was interviews going on, the cut to somebody else watching it on a TV. So the cut to Naomi. He was watching it on TV and she's feeling sorry for Bayley, and there Bianca Belair comes up and asks why she's feeling sorry for Bayley, and basically informed Naomi of what Bayley was like when she was not in the company. Now, is this going to be Bayley's backup when it comes to it? She needs someone to help her, really. Thought it was going to be Dakota Kai, but she turned. So yeah, is that person going to be Naomi? Next up, we get Lashley versus Karrion Kross on a one-on-one, and they made it noted that it was one-on-one, no final testament, no Street Profits present, which obviously means that one of them is going to interfere near the end of the match. And you know, good match, as usual. I did notice, actually, Karrion Kross got a new entrance. I don't know whether he's had that for a bit, and I just haven't noticed it until tonight. But, yeah, he's got, instead of the one with Scarlett in the ring, and then he just, like, appears Raw, and he sort of went for a, I'll hang round and Raw on the side of the apron sort of entrance, which, yeah, I liked it, but I liked the other one better, I think. But, yeah, this is all going on to Scarlett there to obviously interfere, so it's not one-on-one. She likes blocks Lashley from hitting Cross off the post, and, you know, Cross turns it over, smashes Lashley off the post. But then, just as Lashley is setting up for the spear on Cross, the AOP obviously interfere, start attacking Lashley. Street Profits run down. All hell's breaking loose, bodies flying absolutely everywhere. Scarlett jumps in the ring to sort of, just as Lashley's going for the Hurt Locker, which we haven't seen for a bit, I don't think. Can't remember the last time I've seen Lashley get somebody in a good Hurt Locker. You know, Scarlett stops him, and then just as Lashley's like, oh, here we go. B-Fab turns up behind, you know, slaps Scarlett, she runs off, levels the playing field. Lashley gets across into the Hurt Locker, and but then the AOP just start beat down Street Profits and Lashley. Cross gives Lashley a final prayer, and that's it. They leave them all just lying in the ring and around it. Then we get a backstage promo with Dragon Lee and Legado El Fantasma, and you know Dragon Lee's there with his mask on and his Rey Mysterio shirt on, and they're mocking him, basically saying that Rey Mysterio isn't the future, they're the future, and you know I think this sets up a match later on with Dragon Lee versus Angel. Can't remember his surname, but yeah. So before that, we then get Tiffy time with Tiffy Stratton and Mi Chin. This was a alright match. A little bit of a squash again for Tiffany Stratton. But yeah, that prettiest moonsault ever. It's yeah, she fell off the rope attempting this, and but she still made it look fantastic. Like, it really is a very pretty moonsault. And to be honest, Tiffany Stratton's looking more and more confident every time you see her. She really is like starting to own that ring. Very confident performance by her, really. You know, she's even like flexing her guns after the victory. Then we get a promo from LA Knight, a backstage promo, saying this is for LA Knight and anyone who wonders why, for some reason, you know, he flew to Perth just to hit LA Knight with a chair in the Elimination Chamber, which is good to know, really. I'm quite glad that he's decided to tell us. And he's basically saying that he doesn't like him. He thinks he's came in, walks around like he owns the place. And he actually admits that he did find him funny. But then it cuts to the video of when it all started kicking off with Orton, LA Knight and Styles, where LA Knight sort of pushes Styles out the way so he can point over the rope at the Bloodline, and then that's when Styles first attacked LA Knight. So I think that was the turning point for him. If he hadn't have pushed LA, if LA Knight hadn't have pushed AJ Styles out of the way, there wouldn't be an issue, which a bit petty, but. And he basically calls LA Knight, says that he's overachieving, under-talented, loud-mouth, in desperate need of attention, and that AJ Styles is the phenomenal choice for the job to take him down. And then it cuts again, this was saying before, it cuts to LA Knight sitting watching that promo on a TV, and LA Knight decides to take a practice swing with the chair on the TV and just smashes the TV up. Now, what I did actually like about this, and it's the attention to detail, which a lot of things, not just in wrestling, a lot of shows thing is it had the wires in. It had the wires in, like, as if it was actually connected up to something, not just a power supply. It had, you know, usually, like, when you see folk with guitars, they're not even plugged in. So having the wires in there, I think, actually helped. When he threw the telly on the floor, you can see the wires all lying about as well, and then he starts beating the telly with a chair. We then do get the match of Angel versus Dragon Lee, and yeah, I thought he had a surname, but he actually doesn't. I actually wrote down in my notes that he hasn't got a surname anymore. So he did have a surname, but I can't remember what it was. I think it was Angel Garcia or something, maybe. Anyways, but no, this is a good match. Starts off Dragon Lee getting absolutely destroyed with... and then when he comes back, Dragon Lee's, you know, makes a comeback and takes out Angel with a... like a hurricane rana into a roll up pin, and then just gets absolutely beat down by Santos Escobar and his gang, because there's no LWO in the building to save Dragon Lee, so he has to take the beating. And then that's how it ends, with Legado del Fantasma standing over Dragon Lee in the centre of the ring. Now at this point I fell asleep. You know, it's like it's nearly half two in the morning over here when I'm watching this, so I actually fell asleep at this point and missed the rest of SmackDown, so I had to re-watch it this morning. And the next bit comes out with Damage Control backstage promo with Dakota Kai, basically saying that she was always in control of Damage Control. And then what I do like is, you know, Io Sky's there and the Kabuki Warriors. Each one of them has their say in Japanese, and he comes up with subtitles. You know, basically, Io Sky is saying you were never part of the vision, and it was Io Zero from day one. And then this leads to Dakota basically calling out Bayley into the ring next week. So next week we're going to get Dakota Kai versus Bayley. Straight after that, it cuts to Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes' locker room, where they've had security on the outside. They keep on showing videos of security outside all of the doors all throughout the day. Nick Aldis is going to get them and they're not there, and you know, security are baffled, how did they get out, which is true, really. I mean, they're in a locker room which has only got, if it's got more than one door, then why have they put all the security on one door? Not really a very good security team, really, when you think about it. Then we get the main event. You know, the bit we've been building to all day, but most people have probably even tuned into SmackDown for this week. And this promo started with half an hour still to go in the show. And with the entrances being like forever, and the amount of time The Rock stands around just staring and listening, it took 14 minutes until someone actually spoke a word in this promo. And Roman Reigns started off with basically informing Dallas that they're in the presence of greatness. He then leans over, gives The Rock the you know, Rocky and Apollo Crews handshake, which they've been doing quite a lot, where the, you know, see the muscles and that big manly handshake. Then tells the crowd to acknowledge us. And while, you know, they've all got the fingers in the air, take an acknowledgement, lights go down, Cody Rhodes' music's hit, and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins start coming through the crowd, all Shield style. And Seth Rollins had something taped over his face, like, well, a bit of tape over his face, something written on it. I couldn't really see what it was, but he ripped it off, and whoever was stood with that sign right where Seth Rollins was stood, I don't know if anyone noticed, there was like a dude stood right next to him with a sign that says Roman Reigns hits like a vegan. I thought that was quite funny. we come back from the adverts and the ring's cleared and Seth and Cody are in the ring, doing the stare down, letting the crowd decide, and they all start chanting Seth Rollins' song. And then once everything settles down, Cody takes a mic and being all political instead of getting straight into the promo, suggests that everybody feels very lucky for being in this ring and that all four of them should just take a moment to appreciate Dallas, Texas. Then after the Cody chants die down, he politically asks The Rock, does he have the authority to make this type of match with the stipulations that he proposes? Because, as he points out, the week before he acknowledged Roman Reigns as his tribal chief. And then Cody starts to give the answer and goes, you want your answer. And then he just gets rudely interrupted by The Rock with a, hey, you shut your mouth, boy. Then he points to Seth Rollins and calls him, you walking clown show, you shut your mouth before you even start talking. Brilliant. And he informs Cody Rhodes that before he does something stupid and accepts this match in front of the whole world, he's going to drop some gospel on his candy ass. The Rock then goes to inform Cody that the reason why he acknowledges him as the tribal chief is because his family, and that's what family does. Which I can understand. I'm from a big family. I'm half Italian, very family orientated. I'm, if you look at my terms of family, I'm second in line. There's only my uncle that's older than us. So, and then The Rock gives his the rules again for this. If Seth and Cody win, they'll be free of the bloodline for his match. It says then you'll be free to finish your story by yourself. And then the crowd starts chanting diarrhea, which, I get it, I understand it, it begins with a D and so does Dwayne, and I'm one of the best for toilet humour, I think it's hilarious, I laugh at any of it, but diarrhea, Dwayne, it's just, they could have come up with something better there, but I suppose with all the F-bombs and all the swearing that The Rock's doing, they've got to try and keep this insult a little bit more PG coming from that side. And diarrhea, diarrhea. It's, and once the crowd stopped chanting diarrhea, then The Rock gives the rules for if Rock and Roman win the match, and it's basically just like a no-holds-barred bloodline rules, which is only gonna benefit the bloodline. And then just as he asks Cody what his decision is, then The Rock gets rudely interrupted by Seth Rollins. If they'd just let each other finish the promo, they'd have got their answer, but no, this is the way they go, and they're interrupting each other all the way through. And Seth Rollins basically says, for once in your life, will you shut the hell up, we know the stakes. And he says, the history of the industry is on the line, and you listen to me, good Mr. Midlife Crisis. And he's basically saying, to The Rock, you had your time, you can't have ours. And biggest WrestleMania tag team match of all time, and we accept. Then Roman bursts out into laughing, starts stirring the pot a bit. Points to Cody and says, you're going to let this answer for you, and calls him an idiot and gets the first dig in at the crowd in this promo and says, you must be from Texas or something. And then he says to Cody, basically, when I beat you at WrestleMania, that's it, you're done, you've had your chance, your story's over, it's done for you now. The Rock then reminds Cody and Seth that he will do everything in his power to make sure that Cody loses at WrestleMania, and that Seth's title goes away because he is on the board of TKO, who owns WWE, which makes him Seth's boss and makes him Cody's boss. He again then, you know, says that if he loses this, that's it. He's never getting another chance at the title, and you know, he's got no chance because him and Roman are family. He's, the grandparents are looking down on them. And he goes, even your dad's looking down on you, and goes on about his brothers. And then goes on about how he's the youngest brother, and there's 20 years between him and the next brother. And basically calls Cody Rhodes a mistake. Yeah, and everyone goes crazy. Seth's sort of pulling at Cody, Roxanne let him go, you know, the face to face. Cody looks like he's just about to say something and slaps a rock right across the face. Hear loads of commotion, loads of cheering. The camera's only on Rock and Roman, and then it goes off. What happened? You know, like I was saying earlier with the video that The Rock had put out, he thing to the fact that Seth Rollins had ran his mouth after the cameras had went off when no one could see what he was saying. So it'd be interesting to see from Mr. Ritter what actually happened. And thank you guys, that has been it for me. It's a little bit shorter than normal, but it was a bit of a short notice thing this. It was only yesterday that Mike sent us a message, asked us if I would cover it for him. I mean, if you want to catch us, catch me more, I'm over on the Football Function. I do cover the international NFL games for Mike over at the Football Function. It's called the International Reefer Report. And I also, now at the minute, I'm doing a weekly series of NFL rivalries called Reefer's Rivalries, and this week's episode coming up is going to be the Patriots versus the Jets. So if you're interested in any of that, head over to the Football Function and it's all there. You know, Mike's breaking down all the salary caps and potential trades and potential drafts of every division at the minute during the off season. You've got Cousin Mike with the college football, which is amazing. The knowledge that dude has on college football is second to none. I didn't really know that much about college football until I started listening to Cousin Mike. He really is very good at what he does. So with that being said, I'd like to give a shout out to all the dudes in the Discord. I think yous know who yous are. You know, it's always fun chatting to yous until I fall asleep. Yeah, so that's it from me, Mike Twentyman. I am not going to steal Mike's outro like I stole his intro. But so from me, everybody, stay fly.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.